thing I wanted to discuss about Erev Yom Kippur before we move into Yom Kippur proper. The Rosh, the Animus and Zuma, quotes a minig from the days of the Gaonim, at least we have written down the days of the Gaonim, that one is supposed to go to the mikvah on Erev Yom Kippur. The Rosh also follows the quote from the Sadegon that before one goes to the mikvah on Erev Yom Kippur, one recites a bracha, a So the Rosh Sadegon's opinion is that this is not just a custom, this is a real halacha. The Rosh is concerned. He says, there's no way this comes from exactly. There's no mention of this in the Gemara. What kind of a mitzvah is this? It's not a mitzvah in a Torah, not a mitzvah in the Rabbanim. So where does it come from? So the Rosh suggests that maybe Rosh Sadegon is based on the following. The Gemara says in the Sefer Shoshana, in the first parak, Chayav Adam Mitar Atzma Beregel. The person is obligated to go to the mikvah before Yom Tov. The Gemara learns out from a pasuk, because it says, V'lasam lo sigau, but you're not allowed to touch dead animals. Dead animals that weren't shechted. Because a dead animal was shechted amidst tumah. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? V'lasam lo sigau, you're not allowed to touch a dead animal? What is the shlosim mean in Rosh Hashmini? There's no way sir to become covered. Even a kohen is permitted to touch a dead animal. A kohen is not allowed to touch a dead person. Not allowed to come to the tumah's mace, Adam. The tumah's mace of a hain? Oh, there's no such a sin. There was such a nisr. There's a tshuva that was written in the period of the Gaonim. It was written by somebody, I don't know exactly who, wrote that a kohen is not permitted to come to contact with a dead animal. Just as a kohen is not allowed to come to contact with a dead person, so too a kohen is not allowed to touch a dead animal. So it's wrong, it's not true, it was a mistake. So the story goes that somebody asked the Rav, he said, what do you do with the tshuva of the Gaonim that says that a kohen is not allowed to touch a dead animal? So the Rav put it up and he said, that goes in Amma Aretz. He said that he wrote a letter, whatever it was, somebody wrote a truth, because somebody wrote a letter. A lot of things that are written, a lot of creepy things that are written today also. So just because something is written and it quotes a Mamma Gomez doesn't necessarily mean that's right. A lot of Mishigasim that are online that sound like they're very scholarly pieces, and if somebody who has understands a little bit of Torah looks at them, they're really that Torah, Taylor. So our generation doesn't have the monopoly of Varma Taylor, whereas Varma Taylor written 1,000 years ago also. So this particular quote of Tshuva was written by someone who didn't know how to learn. So anyway, there is no such thing. Halacha is that a kohen is permitted to come to contact with the dead animal. Someone once asked Rishad, once a kohen went down, called me and said that his dog died and wanted to know whether there's any prohibition of him burying the dog, whether there's any use of a kohen to touch the dead dog. So I told him that according to that Tshuva of the Gaonim, which is written by the Amatz, and then it's awesome. But otherwise, if everybody else is mutter. So the Amatz is mutter. So the Gemara Rosh Hashanah says that if there's no iser, there's no issue to come into contact with a dead body for a non-kohen. So how in the world can the Torah say, if you're not allowed to touch a dead animal, what's the issue? The Gemara says, no, this possibly, the issue of touching a dead animal is talking about the regel. We have a special tradition that this, the Torah Shabbat tells us, that this possibly, this phrase, is referring to only on Yom Tov, because in Yom Tov, you're not allowed to touch a dead animal, because you're not allowed to become tummy. Because in Yom Tov, there's a special mitzvah to become Torah. So the Rambam happens to write, that mitzvah doesn't apply to Zman HaZeh, because the Rambam writes, why is it that Chayiv Adam Mitar Atzma Beregel? So the Rambam writes, because since the Torah gives us a mitzvah of Alil Regel, we're supposed to go and eat Karbamas and drink Karbamas and celebrate for a week in the base of Mikdash, so the Torah wants to make sure that we're able to do that, so therefore the Torah gives us a special iser for becoming Tami and Yonti. According to the Rambam, there's Zman HaZeh, nobody's going to the base of Mikdash anyway, so then the whole issue of becoming Tami and Yonti for the mitzvah of becoming Tami and Yonti doesn't apply. That's what the Sheikh Asai writes in the Tshuva, that according to this Rambam's understanding, the whole din doesn't apply. But the Rosh didn't understand the way. The Rosh understood that the din of Chayav Adam and Tara to the regal could potentially apply even to Zman HaZeh. And he said, maybe that's the shot in Rav Sadegon. Maybe the din of Chayav Adam Taratz of the Regel is nothing to do like the Rambam said, because you're going to come to the base of Mikdash and you come on this land. It's a din that you're supposed to be on a higher level of Kedusha. So that din is supposed to be on a higher level of Kedusha of Tara and Yom. That's not only true in the Shalosh Adolim, that's true in Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur as well. So maybe that's what Rav Sadegon meant when he said Chayav Adam Taratz, but when he said that you have to take a bracha on Erev Yom Kippur when you go to the mikvah. He didn't mean only Erev Yom Kippur. He meant Erev Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot, and Shmini Atzeres, Rosh Hashanah also. You get whenever you go to the mikvah before Yom Kippur, you always make a bracha. Because there's a mitzvah in a Torah of Chayav Adam Taratz of the regal. So that's a very unique interpretation of the Da'as Rav Sadegon. That's what the Rosh suggests, that maybe that's what Rav Sadegon was driving at. But there really is nothing unique about Erev Yom Kippur. Erev Yom Kippur is only the same as any other Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur to become Torah. So the Rosh, in the end, rejects this view of Sadegon. The other thing it's right for the following reason. The Rosh says that he doesn't think that we have the ability to fulfill this mitzvah of the Taras many beregel this manazet because we don't have para aduma. It's not as if a person goes to the mikveh, they really remain tumen. Nothing really happens. They become tar from certain tumas, like carrot, sheris, tomatoes, whatever, very limited tumas. When a woman goes to the mikveh, she's no longer in Nida. But in terms of really becoming tahor, we never become tar. Because anyone who ever came into contact with a mace, any person who ever went to a funeral, anyone who ever touched a dead body, anyone who was a chutzlar, so became tumen, tumas mace, with your abonim, just going to chutzlar itself is tumas mace. So the and we always tummy, so we go to the mikvah hadamah, we're still completely tummy. So what kind of chayiv adam atar atzim regel can exist for us today? So Rambam says that the din of chayiv adam atar atzim regel doesn't apply for us because manazep, there's no base of mikdash, because we're not going to be kabbalas anyway. The Rosh concludes it doesn't apply for a different reason. It doesn't apply because it's going to be ineffective. We're not going to accomplish it because we're not ready for paraduma. So the man, I slice, the mitzvah doesn't apply today. That's why those people aren't so careful about that. You know, some people are not, but they like to go to the mikveh every other day. Some people like to go to the mikveh Shabbos, some people like to go to the mikveh every day, okay, fine. But in terms of the real chiyuv of chayavam, the taras of the regel, the son of that, it probably doesn't apply, according to the Rambam, because it doesn't apply when there are no kabbalas, and according to the Rosh, it doesn't apply because it's not going to be effective. So at the end of the day, the Rosh rejects this interpretation with Asaf Sadigom, and he still throws up his hands and says he doesn't know what Sadigom is talking about. Why do you recite a bracha? The only possible mitzvah that could have been is chayav adam ta'arat v'regel, which doesn't seem to apply to Zman HaZeh. Baba, what is the pshat of Sadigon? How could Rav Sadigon say you make a bracha on it? So there is a group of Achirayim who suggest that what Rav Sadigon is driving at is as follows. The Gemara says in the second bracha, in the third parak, that in the days of Ezra, Ezra made a takona that a Baal Keri, one who just became Tomei for Shechvah Zerah, man is not permitted to daven, to learn, to say brachas, until he goes to the mikvah. So we wrote the seven brachas, the third prayer, we remember some of those mishnayos. It was a takon that was made in the days of Ezra. The Gemara eventually tells us in the third prayer of brachas, that in the days of the Tanoim, in the days of Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, so they revoked that takon, they canceled that takon of Ezra. Why did they cancel that takon? The takon was around for a couple hundred years. The Gemara explains that it was hard to keep, it was difficult, it was leading to a little of a little tire, a bit of a river, and sort of reasons. So the later Tanoim did away with the Takana of Ezra. So Tosfos asked the Kasha, and that Gemara, what do you mean they did away with the Takana? What do they care for the Takana? We have a rule that a later Beis Din does not have the ability to revoke a Takana of a previous Beis Din unless the later Beis Din is going with the Chachma Vaminyan, unless they're greater to the Chachamim, and there are more Tayanim, or more to the Chachamim generation, whatever the case of Gog Vaminyan is. And that clearly wasn't the case. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira was a great Tana, but he wasn't quite on par with Ezra. So how could Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, how could the Tanoim, the later generation, cancel the Takana of Ezra? So Tosfos points out that the reason is based as follows, that the Gezeira, the Takana of Ezra, was never pushed over of Yisrael. That the Takana was never really fully accepted in the first place. The Gemara says, in the second paragraph of Avodah Zarah, that if a Beis Din makes a Takana, the Takana never was accepted by the people, so the Takana isn't really binding. If the Takana only takes teeth, the Klal Yisrael accepted upon themselves. So Taisa says, Mustafa, that's what happened over here. That Ezra tried to make the Takana, he tried to make this Gezeirah. So for hundreds of years, this Gezeirah, this Takana, was on very, very flimsy ground, that most people weren't even able to live up to it. And finally, the Tanoim saw it. It's ridiculous. No, we're not living up to it anyway. We can't do it. So let's make an official Moshe Beis Din to cancel the Takana. It's only with the Rabbanan. Din D'oraisa can't do it. Let's say most people can't keep Shabbos. So we'll get together and we'll cancel Shabbos. And that's a different religion. You can't do that. So Din D'Rabbanan, if you have a Sanhedrin, if you have a Beis Din HaGadol, so then a Beis Din HaGadol, they see that it's just not Shach to keep the original Takana, and they can cancel the previous Takana. So Kabbalah of Rachmanim would say that when the Beis Din HaGadol, or the Beis Din Rishon to say that cancels the Takana of Ezra, what prompted them to cancel it was the fact that it was too difficult for Klal Yisrael to keep it. But what if we would suggest the following? What if it was difficult for Klal Yisrael to keep it all the time, but what if Klal Yisrael were able to keep it sometimes? What if they had the ability to observe it partially? So then Nachman writes, then the later Beis Din should assess the situation, and then they should, whatever part of the Takana that the Klal Yisrael are keeping, they should keep that part of the Takana intact. Whatever part they're not able to keep, they should revoke. So the Beis Din noticed that one day a year, everyone's on a higher level. Everybody's going to the mikveh on Yom Kippur. Everybody's going to be on Yom Kippur. So on Yom Kippur, everybody really is living up to the Takana of Ezra. So come with Rech Rehman Rai, that if on Yom Kippur, everybody's living up to the Takana of Ezra, so then on Yom Kippur, it's a real din. On Yom Kippur, the Takana of Ezra is Takachal. So the Takana of Ezra is both of 353 days a year, but one day a year, the Takana is still intact. When a person goes to the mikvah and erev yom kippur today, he's not just performing a minig, a minig to become tahor. No, it's a real fulfillment of the formal takana of Ezra. If that's the case, that it's a formal takana of Ezra, then we understand why you make a bracha. Same way in the days of Ezra, he made a bracha. Before the takana was actually canceled, those 3 former years, from the days of Ezra until the days of Rabbi Zvi Seira, anyone who went to the mikvah made a bracha, because it was a real formal takana sahana. So to this vanazet, even post the revoking of the takana, since the takana remained intact, at least partially, this one day a year, that one day a year that's intact, it's still intact, the whole takif, and therefore you can recite a bracha. So perhaps that's what the beer in Rav Sadigo is all about. If that's the case, then maybe a similar idea to this, which is also relevant for the Shem and Kippur season, and that's what the din that appears in Shulchan Aruch, that already says the Gaon and Rishonim, that one is supposed to be careful during the Seder Sfei Tshuva not to eat Pas Achum. The Mishnah says in the second birth of Avodah Zarah that the Chachamim made a gezeira that you're not allowed to eat bread that was baked by a goy, you're not allowed to eat food that was cooked by a goy, you're not allowed to eat drink wine that was touched by a goy, you're not allowed to drink, you're not allowed to eat bread that was baked by a goy. All of these were instituted at the same time. The Gemara says, why did they make these takanas? Rishim chasnas, because they wanted to break up the social interaction between Jews and Goyim, because they were afraid that if you're going to sit together and dine out with a Goyim, you're going to eat the food, you're going to eat the bread, you're going to eat the wine, next thing you know, you're going to come to marry their daughters. So as a gezeira to prevent intermarriage, the Chachamim made a whole series of gezeiras to prevent, to nip the problem in the bud. So the Mishnah says that the gezeira against Pasachim was instituted, and it's on par with the gezeira against Bishalachim. Nevertheless, the Gemara and the Bavli and the Rishalmi even more chisels away at the Gezeira Pas Achim. Basically, what the Rishonim write is that the Gezeira Pas Achim, although it was originally instituted, was basically canceled at a later point. Why was it canceled at a later point? Because Chazal saw that it was too difficult to manage without it. To manage without eating food cooked by Goyim, big deal. So I'll cook my own food, I'll cook my own chicken. The bread was much more difficult, but especially in Bavli history. So not everybody was able to bake their own bread. There were professional bakers in town, and they were baking the bread for everybody. And if I need bread, I can live without potatoes, I can live without eggs, I can live without chicken. It's very hard to live without bread. So therefore, the Chachamim were concerned that it's going to make life too difficult for Klai Yisrael. They were never really able to follow this takana, this gezeira of Pasachim. So basically, at a later date, so the Chachamim pretty much did away with Pasachim. They didn't do away with it entirely. What they did was that they made the following distinction based on the Yishami, that if it's what's called pas palabayis, if it's private baked bread, so that would be a problem. If it's pas palter, if it's a professional baker, I don't really have a connection with anyone. I know they are, but I don't really have a social connection with them. I'm just going through it for business. So a pas palter, the Chachamim permitted us to eat the non-Jewish baked bread. So that's how we pass it with manazeh. That's why we have no problems. We go into the store and we buy non-Jewish bread. Now obviously, it has to be kosher. In the olden days, bread was just flour and water. There wasn't any kashrus issue. But today, there are kashrus issues in bread. So we can't just go into a regular supermarket and just buy a loaf of bread without any hashgacha on it. That has nothing to do with Pasach. That's because we're afraid there may be trace ingredients in there. But as long as you know that the ingredients are kosher, how do you know that? You can't just read the bag. You have to have a mashgiach. Someone's going to tell you that the ingredients are kosher. Even though the bread is baked by grain, it doesn't concern us. So that's why we, Bismanazel, we have no qualms about eating fry apple bread or other non-kosher, almost bread, other kinds of bread.
Not kosher,
Jewish.
No, I'm saying not
kosher. I'm sorry, not Jewish. We have no qualms with that. We have no qualms eating non-Jewish bread, pas akam, even as long as we know that it's kosher. As long as it's pas palta, it would be pas malabayas. If your next door neighbor would come and bake you a bread, that would be a problem. Even though you know for a fact that the ingredients are Jewish, that's a problem. A lot of people run into this problem in their house. They have their babysitters, and sometimes a babysitter decides she's going to bake up a batch of cookies for you. So that's a problem. Even though all the ingredients are kosher, because cookies are also considered to be like pas. So if a non-Jewish babysitter bakes up the cookies for you, those cookies are treif, because Chum never permitted pas balabayas. He only permitted pas palter. So the whole of the mice that we committed, we have a hand of
prescription.
Maybe?
Has Mashkiel checked in the non-Jewish bakeries on Shabbos on Pesach?
How does he check? For Maisa. So usually we're dealing with a big enterprise, so it's highly unlikely that they can change the ingredients in the middle of everything. If you have any Ashkacha, so you give Ashkacha on Sprite, so there's no Mashkiach sitting in Sprite 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So it's understood, you sign a contract with them, they can use the following ingredients, and if they violate the contract, there will be legal ramifications, and you make spot checks and all, so well, to make sure nothing's changing.
We don't spot them on Shabbos. Shabbos or on Pesach.
Yeah, so the odds that someone in fire office is going to solve himself to El Chaza in the middle of Pesach is very, very unlikely.
And so do we really have like Ode Kochavim and Mazalos nowadays? Are like the non-Jews today on the status of like idol worshippers?
Well, it doesn't really matter. Whether you hold them that they're worshipping as idolatry or not, it doesn't matter. You're still not allowed to marry them. So the issue of Chastos is a function of the fact that they're not Jewish, even if they're not necessarily Ode Avedizar. We just use the phrase Atom, which is in this context, is a kind of locally referring to. But anyway, get back to the story. So the din is that Bismanazeh were very lenient about this, so we pass Palter all the time. There are some people who like not to rely on this. Some of us are their machbar when we call Pasisrael. They won't rely on this proof. I mean, then most of us rely on the kuv of Pas Palter all the time. So it says in Shulchan Aruch, they were not supposed to rely on the kuv during the Aseret Yemei Teshuva. Why not? Because the Aseret Yemei Teshuva were on a somewhat higher level. So during the Aseret Yemei Teshuva, we try to eat only Pasisrael. One should be careful not to eat regular fry-up bread, regular goyish bread, even though it's 100% kosher. One should be careful not to eat it. Therefore, one should be careful not to eat peppermint cookies and cakes, any of this kind of stuff. These are all considered to be chasakam, so the more correct thing to do during the Aseret Yemei Teshuva is not to eat these kinds of food.
Yeah,
the factory is first one.
It's also fresh.
It's also fresh. Yeah, it's donuts. Donuts is even better, because donuts are not even past. Donuts is bishalachim, so it may be real trade. It's looking for a different reason, because it's ain ola shuk malachim. Donuts are not usually served as a meal, so they're not considered to be bishalachim. It's a different, whole different story. But anyway, get back to the story. So the bottom line is that on the one hand, we're very making of hasakam all year long to rely on the kulu pas palter. And the reason we should understand it, because basically the Takana was never Pashna of Israel, it was lost to Klai Israel to keep. But Jonah says, the Chibu were Machne. So some Achranim write that, what do we were Machne, Jonah says, the Chibu? We Klai Israel decided that for 1 week a year, we're able to be Machne, we're able to follow the higher standards. So for that 1 week a year that we're going to follow the higher standards, the Takana was never his Batma. So it couldn't be that if a person keeps Pasakam during the Seis Mechuv, he's not just violating the Minig Yisrael, he's violating the Dinim of the Rabbanim. The Takana of the Tanoim, the Takana of the Mishnah, not to eat Pasakam, is still in full force during the Seis Mechuv. This is the same like the Ezra of Sadi going to say by Tzvilas Ezra. But we have the several Takanas, the Takana of Tzvilas Ezra, the Issa de Rabbanim of eating Pasakam, where basically the Issa de Rabbanim was revoked, but it was not completely revoked. Because there are certain very small times during the year that Klai Yisrael able to live up to the highest standard. But those times, either Yom Kippur or Sez Mechuv, whatever the standard, whatever the times were, so then the original Takana remains Bechol Tokef, it remains in full force. And one who violates those din is not just violating the Minig Yisrael, but violating a real bona fide Issa. That's a big Chiddush that some Achronim have at Tzvilas Ezra and some Achronim have at Chiddush by Pasachim. Neither of those two approaches is conventional wisdom. Conventional wisdom is that Pasachim doesn't exist as one as that, Tzvilas Ezra doesn't exist as one as that, and these are just minhagim, chumas b'yama. But at least according to Sadigon, it appears not to be this way. We probably don't pass the Mikvah of Sadigon. Harai, we don't pass any of Sadigon. We do not make a bracha when we go to the Mikvah of Yom Kippur. Our custom is, we go to the Mikvah of Yom Kippur without a bracha. So why are we going to the Mikvah of Yom Kippur if we're not doing it the Torah's Tzibos Ezra? So maybe we're doing it just time to become Torah, it's a high level of Kedusha, it's true, but you know, have a dozen other reasons, which are not pure halachic reasons. And therefore, these meta extra halachic reasons do not warrant a bracha.
Only make brachas in the other Tzibos Ezra?
When there's a formal takana, you do something, you know, you just can act with you and make a takana.
Like complaining is those brothers are the ones who make a brother out of Ezra.
Like what? Complaining
on
their
business.
Ladies, that's a double question. Why don't we make a brother anyway? It could be that the brother that we make a shebecha, but it's also, it's like the brother, yeah. Yes, do you know the front end? Do you want to do it? What's the kind of thing?
There's a lot.
What?
There are
there aren't that many. You can look around, they're fun, there aren't that many. So anyway, getting back to the story. So our minig is that we do not make a bracha on Erev Yom Kippur the Tefillah, and the reason being we probably don't accept the Shkibot Torah, we probably hold that the Tefillah Ezra, the Tefillah Erev Yom Kippur is not really the Torah's halacha, it's just the Torah's minig. These two approaches to the Tefillah and Erev Yom Kippur, it's a real absolute bona fide halacha, like some Achareim say, Vidas or Sadin, or whether it's just a minig, so this would probably explain away the Machlekes of Rishonim of the following Shaila, the Rishonim quote in the name of the Yid Barceloni. Just in case you can figure out what town he came from Barcelona. So the Rebbe Barcelona, one of the Rishonim, has the following Chiddush. The Gemara says that for the person is chayiv in Tzvila if their time for going to the mikvah falls out on Yom Kippur, then they're permitted to go to the mikvah even on Yom Kippur itself. We don't practice that, and we'll talk about this a little bit later on. We'll get to the din of the renewing of the chitza on Yom Kippur. But the Gemara says, if you have a person who's really trying to become a tohar, then they're permitted to go to the mikvah even on Yom Kippur. That wouldn't be considered to be bathing. Bathing is only aser when it's done there. I know that it's done for enjoyment. But if the Torah is going to the mikvah, it's a real chiyuv, so then that would be permissible even on Yom Kippur. So the Rebbe Saloni said the following Kiddush. He says, let's say a person went to the mikvah on Yom Kippur, and they're davening and keep an eye on it, and they go to sleep, and when they wake up, they realize they became a balkari, they became tamei in the middle of the night on Yom Kippur. So the Rebbe Saloni writes, you should go back to the mikvah on Yom Kippur morning, because you have to become tamei, you have to be tamei when you daven in Yom Kippur. So the other Rishon called the Rebbe Saloni and said, it's not true. The Torah and Shulchan Aruch reject the Rebbe Saloni and said, we don't follow that. But we hold that if a person went to the mikvah on Yom Kippur, they became tamei on keeping that big deal. So you daven b'tumah, like the same way you daven b'tumah the other day of the year, big deal. So one does not go back to the mikvah on Yom Kippur. What's the nekudas of machlokes? So the Rebbe Saloni seem to be following the opinion of the synagogue that the real chiyuv to become tahor on Yom Kippur. You're basically not allowed to daven on Yom Kippur to become tahor. So according to that opinion of the Rebbe Saloni, that the Kanef Ezra is really in full force on Yom Kippur, even as long as that, then how do you let the guy daven? He's mechut to go to the mikvah. So whenever you're mechut to go to the mikvah, you're allowed to go to the mikvah on Yom Kippur itself. But the Torah and the Shulchan Aruch who reject the Rebbe Saloni, there would be opinion like the Rosh, like most of the Rishonim, that there's no bracha on the going to the mikvah on Yom Kippur, because the going to the mikvah on Yom Kippur is only b'teres minig, it's b'teres ha-kedusha, the power, etc. So the chayz of the tshuva, that's all very nice, so that's nice on Yom Kippur, but we're not going to let you bathe, not let you go wash yourself on Yom Kippur just for some tshuva, the tar or something. The only type of a tefillah that's permissible on Yom Kippur is a tefillah that's really chayvik tefillah is tavuk edach on Yom Kippur, on Yom Kippur. But if you're not a mechuyah b'tefillah, then there would be no such effort. So the ma'aseh that's only passed, Shulchan Aruch passed, and the guy that came to me and keep it night, so he does not have to go to the mikvah. It's not necessary to go to the mikvah. That's a weird noyeh. The Gemara has a whole scary sugya at the end of the Sefer Yuma about the person who comes to Tommy and the Kippur night. So was that a good sin? Was it a bad sin? And the sin? All the stories, people get very, very nervous about that Gemara. So the came right with Man Azeh, the Gemara doesn't really apply anymore. Because Man Azeh, people eat such big meals. In the days of Chazal, people don't eat so much. Even in Yom Kippur, how much food do they have? Sacher Gold. Because Man Azeh, people have such soup and such meals right before Yom Kippur. So we know that sometimes a person eats so much and that can sometimes trigger a carry also. So as long as that, we attribute the person who's getting about carrying the Kippur night, we assume it's not because the Rebbe Shlomo was trying to send him any great message about whether he's going to live through the year or not live through the year. He's a big tzaddik, he's a big Russian. He goes hold the shadow, but it's because it's a sign that he's a Russian, he's a tzaddik, he's going to live or he's going to die. So the first came out as man as we're not such a good tzaddik, we don't get messages from the Rebbe Shlomo so direct anymore. But we assume that any carry that a person has in Kippur happened by itself, happened in the middle of the night, so he doesn't have to. Should be considered to get up and daven and finish and don't worry about it and shouldn't think about going to look about it because we reject the halacha that we passed on. This one, quite one last time to start the Kippur itself. So this will finish one last thing about Erev Kippur. That's a minig that the only way to discuss, that's a minig of doing kapparas on Erev Kippur. So this minig is quoted already in the Chumash of the Gaonim, the real Chumash of the Gaonim, not the Emmanuel, the real Chumash of the Gaonim. This minig is quoted. So the Shulchan Aruch has one line, one simon about doing kapparas on Erev Kippur. And he writes, that's also the two kapparas in Erev Kippur. Shulchan Aruch frowns upon this minhag. Shulchan Aruch quotes those Rishonim who say that one should abolish this minhag of doing kapparas. Because there were some Rishonim who were concerned that it looks like Zakeh HaMoiri. It looks like a non-Jewish practice, like a superstitious practice. Like the chicken swimming around your head. There's no din of doing that anywhere. There's no precedent for that in Torah. It's not a carbon. We don't need kabbalas anymore. It's not, so the whole thing doesn't have Jewish origin. So we're afraid that maybe it's because Zakeh HaMoiri. So Shulchan Aruch says one should reject, one should abolish this minhag. So there are more rights that are kind of correct, and Allah quotes from the Gaonim who had this minhag, and he says that many great Rishonim had this minhag, and we follow the minhag in our communities. We do follow this, and we assume this is not Dachi Amayri, this is a Jewish custom. It goes back to the maybe a little bit of a leaf in the Gemara perhaps. So it's an age old custom, and therefore there are more recommends that one should do it. So that's what our practice in most of our communities is that we do kapparas. People who are not so squeamish with chickens, those who are a little more squeamish with money, whatever it is, but the minhag of kapparas is an age old minhag in that community that should be upheld. Nevertheless, the Poskim write, they want us to be very careful that the minhag of kapparas doesn't end up completely the averus. So in the old days, they used to eat kapparas in Erev Kippur early in the morning, and they would check chickens right away. So you have a sheikh of checking 100% of another. So sometimes when you do things in a rush, they nichsholim, nichshlita. So the Achronim write, be so careful. You're trying to be yitzid is minig Yisrael getting a kabbara, and in the process, you're the sheikh is not sheikh in the chicken problem. So you're violating the use of your yitzid mevela. So you have to be careful like anything else in life. And at the expense of you have to always measure the chai mitzvah today and of seder. So if you want to do this minig, that's okay. You should try to do it in such a way that doesn't violate it. But a kolpanim, the minig is an age old minig, and the minig should be followed, and we still practice this minig. So a kolpanim. Many of our shuls today don't do American kippahs. We go to work, we do it the Sunday before. That became an American minute. But whatever it is, so we have a lot of dinim and hagim that appear on Erev Yom Kippur. We spoke a little bit about the dinim of eating on Erev Yom Kippur, a little bit about the dinim of Tisefes Yom Kippur, a little bit about Kal Nidre, a little bit about Tevila on Erev Yom Kippur, and Makkavaras. So we have a lot of dinim, Ranki Yisrael, that are all revolve around the day of Erev Yom Kippur. Let's show the next year, we'll begin to discuss the real dinim of Yeraisa in terms of the dinim of Yom Kippur, what exactly the status of Yom Kippur itself is. So, let's show the next year will be on Sunday, right? Tomorrow's Mashiach, next Sunday.